Let's read together Psalm 19. In this psalm, which is a hymn of praise, David speaks about two ways in which God has revealed himself: through creation or natural revelation, and through scripture, which is God's special revelation. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament or expanse or sky shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 19, with some background notes. Did you ever have an unbeliever say to you that he or she would become a believer if God would just reveal himself? Show me and I'll believe. You ever have that? If you go on and ask this unbeliever what God would have to do to reveal himself or show himself, they usually want God to do some great miracle. Or they want God to write them a personal letter, black and white. Well, God has done both of these things, and that is what David is talking about here in Psalm 19. You want a miracle? Look at creation. How can you explain the sun and the stars apart from the miracle of creation? You can't get something out of nothing. There must be a beginning. There must be a creator. And do you want a personal letter from God? How about a whole book in black and white? Have you even read the Bible? Read it and you'll see that God has revealed himself right down to the personal level. Here in Psalm 19, David talks about these two revelations that God has given us. In verses 1 through 6, we have the revelation of creation. And in verses 7 through 11, we have the revelation of Scripture. The creation is God's natural or general revelation, because everyone has been given this revelation. The scriptures are God's special revelation because they are specifically given to certain people, and the scriptures contain revelation of the one true God that cannot be determined from general revelation. For example, salvation through Christ alone, who is the Son of God and Savior of the world, could never be known through general revelation. We must have special revelation to know about God's plan of salvation for mankind, as well as his plans for the world. Let's look at these two categories of revelation under our doctrinal points for Psalm 19. Doctrinal point number one: God has spoken with general revelation. God has spoken with general revelation, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament or expanse or sky shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Verse 1 says that the heavens and the skies show forth God's glory and power. Illustration. I remember driving across the mountains of Colorado a number of years ago on a clear, cold, moonless night. The stars were out in all their glory and brilliance. It seemed like you could almost reach out and touch them. Now, I was driving with an unbeliever that I worked with, and I asked him how anyone could doubt that there was an all-powerful God when they observed the stars as we were seeing them. He was completely silent because the evidence was so overwhelming. Even for him, as an unbeliever, to speak of some kind of chance Big Bang and of something that came from nothing seems so out of place and irreverent beneath these starry heavens. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Romans 1:20. Verse 2 of Psalm 19 indicates that the revelation of God in creation is continuous. Day after day and night after night, it does not stop. This revelation is nonverbal, as verse 3 indicates, but overwhelming. And verse 4 emphasizes that this revelation of God is worldwide. It is general revelation. It has been given to all peoples. No one has an excuse, as Romans 1:20 says. Now, there are probably several reasons why the sun is presented as evidence in verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 19. Number one, the sun is certainly the dominant celestial body from our perspective here on earth, both in its glory as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and in its power as a strong runner. Verse 5. Number two, the sun was deified and worshipped as a god in the foreign religions and still is today. And number three, it makes for the perfect transition to the special revelation of the Word of God in verses 7 through 11. As nothing in the natural world is hidden from the light and heat of the sun, so nothing is hidden from the light and penetrating power of the Word of God. In fact, the sun is a wonderful illustration of the Word of God, the Lord himself. As Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 says, "When the Lord returns with righteousness, it will be like the sun arising with healing in its wings." Malachi 4:1. God has spoken with general revelation. Doctrine point number two, God has spoken with special revelation. God has spoken with special revelation. Verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Now, the first thing we notice about this second half of the psalm about the Word of God compared to the first half of the psalm about the creation of God is that two different names of God are used. You don't pick it up in English, but you do in the Hebrew language. In verses 1 through 6, the name of God is El, which is a name meaning the strong one and describes the power of God. While in verses 7 through 14, the name is Yahweh, or Lord, which stresses God's covenant relationship with his people. So the name El for general revelation, but the name Yahweh for special revelation. In verses 7 through 11, the Word of God, or special revelation, is referred to by six different terms: law, testimony, precepts, commandments, fear, that is reverential trust, and judgments. As God's law, verse 7, the Word of God is perfect and can restore the soul. You will find that this is true if you read your Bible every day. As God's testimony, verse 7, The word is sure and trustworthy and will instruct you in the right way if you read it and study it. As God's statutes or precepts, verse 8, the word of God will bring joy to the heart because it is right and true. As God's commandment, verse 8, the word of God is pure and has no hidden agendas. And as a result, it enlightens those who feed on the word. As that which produces fear or reverential trust, verse 9, the word of God is clean from any mixture of truth and error, and it endures forever. As the judgments of God, verse 9, the word of God promotes righteousness because it is true and fair and just in every case. In verse 10, we see that the word of God is more valuable than gold, the most expensive substance of that day, and more satisfying than honey, the sweetest substance of that day. Would you agree that the word of God is the most valuable and most satisfying treasure you own? Does your life show that claim? In verse 11, we see that in reading and studying and obeying the word of God, we are kept in line and greatly rewarded. How true. God has spoken with special revelation. Practical application. What is our response to the books of Revelation? What is our response to the books of Revelation? Notice I did not say book of Revelation, but books of Revelation. In other words, we're not talking here about the last book of the Bible, but about the two means by which God has revealed himself that we have here in Psalm 19. That is the book of creation, or general revelation, and the book of Scripture, or special revelation. We see David's response to these books of Revelation in verses 12 through 14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, or rock, and my redeemer. In view of God's great glory and holiness revealed in his work of creation and written word, David's desire is for righteousness in his own life. David wanted God to reveal his hidden sins so that he could confess them and be cleansed. Verse 12. He wanted the Lord to keep him from situations where he would willfully sin. Verse 13. Presumptuous sin. This is similar to the request in the Lord's Prayer, by the way, of may I not be led into temptation. In verse 14, we see that David wanted all his words and all his thoughts to be pleasing to the Lord, his rock and his redeemer. This was David's response to God's two books of Revelation. Now, what is our response? What is our response to the books of Revelation?